present Brothers-in-Law, a radio adaptation by Richard Waring of the television series, which was based on the original book by Henry Cecil, starring Richard Briers with Richard Waring and John Glyn Jones. Episode 7, Separation Order, featuring this week's special guests, Liz Fraser and Frank Thornton.
Sally?
Yes?
Can I use your phone?
Why?
Well, like many other great lawyers, my brain is at its keenest after a good dinner. I'll just book a table. We'll sort out your little legal problem after a spot of Italian nosh at Guido's, hmm?
Dinner?
Oh, marvellous place. Even the ice cream tastes of garlic.
But what would Roger say?
What would Roger say? We shall never know. He won't be here to say it.
Honestly, Henny, after I've lied to Roger to get this bit of advice...
We've all lied to Roger. Now go and get your coat on.
You are a villain.
Hello, Guido's. This is Signor Blagrove. Can I have a table in about half an hour? Table for two? No, Guido, not the usual signorina. You might say the friend of a friend. And, Guido, listen, make it the little table in the alcove, both of us on the wall side. Yes, I know it means sitting jammed very close together, but I've never had a lady complain yet. Arrivederci. Sorry, Mr. Thursby, but this would seem to be a slight case of Roger and out. Right, Sally, restaurant's fixed.
Can you promise we're not going anywhere smart? I didn't get my hair done today.
Oh, the lighting will be very subdued. Just one candle and a gleam in my eye.
You know what this is, really, don't you? It's blackmail.
That's an ugly word, Inspector. Good Lord, you were the one who rang me and asked me to come round.
Yes, to help poor Mr. Trent with some legal advice, and now we're going out to dinner.
And dance afterwards.
What?
Yes, there's this new discotheque, the Rumpus Room. They tell me the rock and roll sessions there are like Babylon Revisited.
Oh, no, you don't.
If you want good advice, it's essential. After food, nothing stimulates the legal mind as much as shaking the legal bottom.
Well, that may be the taxi I'll go.
Have I time for a snifter?
Help yourself.
Sir.
Roger.
How is it?
How's what?
Your stiff neck. Oh. I was thinking about it, and I suddenly remembered. The chap underneath me always uses this. It's a sunray lamp.
Oh, Roger. You shouldn't have bothered.
No, bothered? I've got nothing else to do this evening anyway. I thought of going to the pictures with Henry, but when I rang him, he was just off to visit some old aunt. I'll rig this up for you.
Oh, no, Roger. Get him silly.
Now, where's your plug? It's one in the sitting room, isn't there? I'll just go and have a... Henry! Hello. Well, it's Roger Thursby and son. I beg your pardon, Sally. I didn't realize you were entertaining.
Oh, now don't stand there looking like a whipped spaniel.
I had to carry this damn lamp on a bus. We better get going, Sal. Perhaps we can drop you off somewhere, old man. That thing must be heavy.
Not now, Henry. There's no point.
But I booked the table and I took out a special membership at the Rumpus Room. Sally, I take it your stiff neck has got a little better.
Now, Roger, pour yourself a sherry and sit down.
Oh, no, please. No, I don't wish to spoil your evening. That's very civilized of you. Come on, Sally.
Good night, Henry.
Oh, well. I expect you two have lots to chat about.
I'm sorry, Henry, but now Roger's here.
Yes, your Roger has something to answer for. This is the first time I've ever been stood up.
Probably good for your character.
That old thing. Oh, well, good night, Sally. I wonder how my old aunt is at rock and roll.
Now, come on, Roger. Don't make a four-act drama out of this.
Oh, no, sure, it's no business of mine. It's just that one wouldn't have thought it was necessary for you and Henry to build up this elaborate network of falsehood.
There's nothing elaborate about it at all. The facts are, I wanted to see Henry because I need some legal information. When he got here, well, you know, Henry, he insisted we have dinner first. That's all there was to it.
Well, that sounds perfectly straightforward. Of course, the fact that I happen to be a lawyer myself.
Yes, but you're not as experienced as Henry.
Not in law, perhaps.
Oh, darling. Now, don't get heavy-handed with me. Oh, I wish I'd never started this business. Now, I wanted Henry because the advice concerns a husband and wife case. You've never done one of those, and Henry's done lots.
Well, why the stiff neck?
Well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm sorry if I mucked it up.
Well, I'm rather glad you did, anyway.
Are you? Really?
Yes.
Why?
I hate going out when my hair's not done.
Oh. Well, look, just because I haven't been in court on a husband and wife case, it doesn't mean I don't know the relevant laws.
You do know the laws.
I didn't say that either. But as I'm here, Henry isn't.
All right, it's the little man at the post office.
What is?
Well, you know that sub-post office next to the dairy?
No.
Well, I've been going in there once a week for ages to get my postal order for my cruise coupon. And there's such a sweet little man in there. We've got very friendly. We usually have a chat and he's so nice. He always sorts right through all the postal orders till he finds one with a 7 in the number for me, because that's always lucky.
But you always lose.
Yes, I know, but it's still lucky. Anyway, this nice little man, his name's George Trench.
George Trench, yes?
Yes, and his wife has applied for a separation order from him on the grounds of cruelty. Poor George is terribly upset and worried. He doesn't know what to do.
Well, what does his solicitor say?
He can't afford a solicitor, and his wife being so beastly, she claims that he hates her, and he doesn't.
How do you know?
Because I know. He's the gentlest little man you could ever meet, even with postal orders. You know how other clerks bang the date stamps down? Well, he never does. He just sort of packs it off. He's got the softest brown eyes. So naturally, I told him I could get some legal advice from you because I have these clever young barrister friends. So what shall I tell him?
Well, what? Well, I mean, you have not given me much to go on, have you? What sort of cruelty is his wife alleging?
Oh, he told me that exactly. She's claiming he hit her round the head.
Round the head?
Does that mean anything to you?
What? Well, yeah, he does suggest a line he might take. Didn't Henry give you any advice?
Oh, Henry. He said, we'll sort poor old Mr. Trench out after a cozy meal at Guido's.
Henry's a pretty smart lawyer.
How do you mean?
Get your coat on. We're on our way to Guido's.
Are you in chambers already? Don't usually expect you in for another half hour.
Oh, well, I had an early night last night, Alec. At my age, an early night upsets the whole metabolism.
Well, perhaps this brief will cheer you up. Fancy said I could give it to whoever I liked, unless you were thirsting. Magistrate's Court Tuesday, 3 and 2. I tried for 6 guineas, but Percy wasn't having any. Separation summons, cruelty, Trench and Trench.
Yes, well, I'm blowed.
You appear for the wife.
Mrs. George Trench. Alec, do me a favor. Give this one to Mr. Thursby.
But I've marked it for you.
I appreciate that very much, Alec, but for private and personal reasons, I'd like Mr. Thursby to do this.
You're feeling all right. It's 5 guineas.
I know, Alec, but there are some things in life which provide more satisfaction than money.
Well, I've never found any.
boy, Alec. Lovely day.
Hello, Henry. You're in early.
You're later than usual, Mr. Thursby.
Yeah, well, I had rather a late night last night. I feel great.
Here's a brief for you, Mr. Thursby. 3 and 2. Southwest London Magistrates Court, Tuesday. Client's coming in for a conference this afternoon.
Bless you, Alec. May you multiply.
Thank you, sir. I'll pass your message on to the wife.
Ah, it's one of those good days, Henry. The sun's shining, lovely 5 guinea brief. I say, that place Guido's is always, isn't it? What? Bags of atmosphere. Mm. What? Be crammed together, one side of the table, but that has its attractions, too.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
What's the brief, Roger?
What? Let me see now. Trench and Trench, separation order. Jolly good. Well, I can't. What? It's Sally's bloke. And I'm appearing for the wife.
Oh, I say, old man, that is awkward.
It certainly is. I can't do this. Sally would ever speak to me again.
Turning a brief down just because your girlfriend wouldn't like it, that's hardly proper, old man.
Good Lord, I better ring Sally. This will take some explaining.
Careful. Careful. Sally is connected with what is now the opposing side. I don't think it'll be ethical even to talk to her now. Not till the case is over in 2 weeks' time.
I can't just... I must ring her and tell her why I can't talk to her.
No, leave that to me. I'll see her this evening for you. In fact, all the while that you're incommunicado, I'll make sure she's not lonely.
What?
It's coffee time, I think. You're quite right, Roger. It is a rather cheerful sort of day. I'll have a nice coffee and plan my fortnight.
Thank you. Good morning. Beautiful day.
It is indeed, beautiful Grimes. And I've just been lucky enough to think of something to match it.
Enigmatic fella? What do you mean by that, Thursby, do you think?
I don't like to think, Grimes.
Prefer to concentrate on your work, eh? Splendid at the start. Hello, what's this brief? Oh, Trench versus Trench. Yeah, that's a nice little case. Good experience for you, my dear. Oh, Southwest London. You'll be in front of Paul Darnley, the nice chap, very regal. You tell him the tale, my dear fellow. Tell him the tale.
Grimes, look, a friend of the husband, a girl I know, she spoke to me about the husband's side of the case last night, before I was given the brief to appear for the wife.
Oh, dear. That is tricky. Yeah. What were you told about the case?
Well, but the husband says he didn't hit his wife.
Well, he's going to deny that anyway. He says so. Here, you take it and good luck to you. You get this poor lady her little separation order.
Well, there is one other difficulty, Grimes.
Difficulty?
Well, I think I rather suggested a line the husband might take.
Sporting of you. If he takes it, that's just his bad luck. It all seems to me pretty straightforward. Will you be gentle with her, my dear fellow? She's probably in need of a little sympathy and kindness.
She's not the only one.
This way, Mrs. Trench.
Oh, blimey, I'm dying for a fag after all those stairs.
Mrs. Trench, this is Mr. Thursby.
Either a fag or a large gin. Oh, perhaps this young lad could slip across to the pub and get me one.
Mrs. Trench. Mrs. Trench, this is your counsel, Mr. Roger Thursby.
Counsel? No.
I beg your pardon?
Well, I must say, you seem very young. Still, the younger the better, I always say. Right, well, I have to settle for a fag. Got a light, dear?
A light?
Well, you are old enough to play with matches, aren't you?
A light, yes, of course. Here.
Ooh, what a shaky hand. Mind if I hold it a minute? Ooh, very smooth. You'd be gentle with a lady, I can tell.
Shall we, get on?
Oh.
I have your statement here, Mrs. Trench, and there's a few questions I'd like to ask you about it.
Oh, Mr. Merivale wrote that out.
No, I wrote it on your instructions, Mrs. Trench.
Well, I didn't give no instructions. I don't know anything about these legal things.
But I mean, that's what you told me.
Oh, you do use big words, you lawyers. I'm a one for short words myself. Very short. All right then, Mr. Thursby. Oh, you are young. Isn't he young, Mr. Merivale?
Mrs. Trench.
If I was in a jury, I'd do whatever you asked. I bet I would.
Now, Mrs. Trench, you have listed here a number of complaints about your husband. What's your chief complaint?
£18 a week he earns. And the carry-on just because I bought a maxi-coat. Oh, well, I mean, Mr. Thursby, this time of year, a miniskirt doesn't cover a girl's, requirements.
Now, I meant about his hitting you.
Oh, yes, dear.
Now, where did he hit you?
Everywhere. In the sitting room, the bedroom, in the office.
No. I didn't mean that. I mean, where on your... On your...
On my what, dear?
Where on your body?
On my body, dear.
Where on your body did he hit you?
Oh, around the head.
Round the head?
And if that's not grounds for a separation for cruelty and maintenance, I don't
now,
know
just, what... Just a minute. Sorry, Mrs. Trench. This expression, round the head. Now, I have an idea. It'll be vital to our case. Now, could you just clarify it a little?
Well, that's where he hit me. Often. Cruelly.
Now, I'm sorry, but you see, round the head is so vague. I don't see how you can hit a person round the head. But on the head. Or on the side of the head. But round the head, I mean, do you mean how can I describe it? You mean a circular blow?
I mean, he hit me round the head. You're not very bright, are you?
I'm sorry. Could you demonstrate?
Well, if you like. Now, you just stand there, Mr. Merivale, and pretend you're my...
Yeah, I think you should demonstrate on counsel, Mrs. Trench.
What? No. Now, look, what... No.
All right. Now, don't be frightened. No. I won't hurt you. Well, it's like this. He clenched his fist. Don't flinch, dear. I'm doing it in slow motion.
Right.
And he shoved it straight into my face like this. I bet you've hardly started shaving, have you?
Mrs. Trent, please, look, now, you're sure that's how you were hit? On the face?
Just like that, dear, only full speed. Want me to show you again at full speed?
No. Lovely, I understand now. Now, Mrs. Trent, that is a punch on the face. Now, why do you call it round the head?
Because that's what I call it. That's what you say.
Yes, I suppose that's fair enough. Now, a blow like that, it must have bruised your face considerably.
Oh, awful, horrible, unsightly marks.
Right, now. Who saw the marks?
My mum. She'll swear to it.
Oh. Anybody else?
Well, isn't my mum's word good enough?
No, it's not that. It's not that. No, I think the magistrate would prefer corroboration by a more independent witness. You see, your husband is going to deny hitting you.
Don't you believe him? He's a liar. A mean, stingy liar.
It's quite, but you see, we must still prove those bruises. Now, if you would call a neighbour or workmates or the milkman, I mean, they must have seen the bruises.
No, they didn't.
I see Mr. Thursby's point, Mrs. Trench. It would be a great help if we could find somebody who saw the bruises.
It might make all the difference.
Oh. Well, we could get Fred.
Mm-hmm. Who's Fred?
Fred? Oh, he's the lodger. he's about the only one who... No, mind you, it might be better to leave him out of it. Fred's one of the things that me and Mr. Trench have quarrelled over.
What? You didn't say anything about that. Now, look, Mrs. Trench, if there's anything... I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but I have to ask you this. If this man, Fred, and you... I mean, I'm sorry, but...
Oh, you suggesting that Fred... Oh, you're as bad as the neighbours. Why do people have such vicious minds?
Look, I'm not suggesting anything, Mrs. Trench.
I should hope not, at your age. Well, I'm not saying that Fred and me haven't been to the pictures a couple of times and to the pub and for a run in his vein, but, well, that's only because my husband's too blimmin' miserly to spend a few bob on my enjoyment. But as for anything further, well, do I look the sort of woman who would indulge in a Candlestein liaison?
Oh, no. Look, Mrs. Trench, perhaps we'd better not call Fred.
Now, wait a minute. Well, I mean, if it means I'll lose the case without him, we'll have him. I want that separation and the maintenance too, don't forget. Is Fred going to make all the difference?
Well, we must try and prove those bruises.
All right, then. You're costing me 5 guineas, so I don't want to take no chances. You can add Fred, Mr. Thursby. He'll be a good witness. Don't you worry about that.
I'll attend to it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. Now, then, what is Fred's full name?
Frederick Arthur Turner. And he'll look just lovely in that box. Roger?
Sally, what are you doing here?
I've come to keep my fingers crossed for poor Mr. Trench, of course. Though after your presentation of his wife's case this morning, I think I can uncross them.
You were in a public carriage?
I was. And I wouldn't say that Mrs. Trench stole all our hearts.
As a matter of fact, Sally, I have a witness up my sleeve who is going to clinch my case.
Frederick Arthur Turner, residing at a lodger at 11 Bloemfontein Terrace.
With Mr. and Mrs. Trench, Mr. Turner?
Yes, I'm their lodger.
Tell me, Mr. Turner, in a word, how does Mr. Trench treat Mrs. Trench?
In a word, can't be done. Not a word you could repeat in present company, anyway.
Well, I don't mean literally, in a word. I mean, briefly, how does he treat her?
I wouldn't treat a dog like it.
Well, the sense of that depends on how you treat a dog.
Oh, I love animals, Your Honor. Matter of fact, I like dogs better than some people like with name.
So you mean you would treat a dog well?
Of course I treat a dog well.
So when you say you wouldn't treat a dog like it, you mean you wouldn't treat Mrs. Trench well?
Of course I treat Mrs. Trench well. That's what I mean. I wouldn't treat a dog like it.
Your Honor, it's an expression.
I know, Mr. Thesmond. But I can't say I care for it. It doesn't appear to say what it means. But I suppose some expressions don't.
No, Your Honor, quite. Now, Mr. Turner, have you ever seen bruises on Mrs. Trench?
No, we can't have that, Mr. Thursby. It's a leading question. You're putting the answer into the witness's mouth. And the husband isn't represented by counsel.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. Mr. Tanner, have you ever seen bruises on Mrs. Trench's face or not?
That's just as bad. To ask the witness whether he has seen bruises suggests to him that he has. And adding or not doesn't make any difference.
If, Your Honor, please, now, Mr. Tanner, Mr. Tanner,
Well, Mr. Tanner, have you seen any bruises on Mrs. Trench?
Yes.
On what part of her?
On her face.
Often or not?
I've already told you the or not doesn't excuse it. You should have asked on one or more occasions.
Thanks, sir. Well, Mr. Tanner?
It was happening all the time.
Did you ever try to intervene?
I did not.
But you did see him knocking her about.
Often. Pitiful it was.
Why didn't you intervene?
Because it didn't come to me. It wasn't my province.
But surely, if you saw a man knocking a woman about in the street, wouldn't you do something about it?
Yes.
What?
Cross over. Well, there's no point in interfering between husband and wife. Perhaps he likes it. Some women are very funny, you know. Well, you poke your nose in, you might just be mixing a pud.
So it comes to this. You say you saw this bullying Mr. Trench regularly knocking his wife about in the house where you were living, yet you never did a thing about it.
Well, that's just your way of putting it.
Don't be impudent.
Mr. Tanner, how would you prefer to put it?
It didn't behove me to interfere. That's for the law, not an innocent bystander.
But you're quite sure you often saw bruises on Mrs. Trench's face?
Mr. Thursby, you're leading again.
I didn't add or not, sir.
There are other ways of leading. You seem to have discovered the lot.
I'm sorry, sir. Thank you, Mr. Turner.
Mr. Trench, do you wish to ask the witness any questions?
Well, I never eat queenie, sir. Rather bad to a woman. I wouldn't think...
No, you have a chance to tell us your side later, Mr. Trench. Now you have the opportunity, if you wish, to challenge anything Mr. Tanner said.
Fred, how could you see me hit her when I didn't...
That's an unanswerable question. Would you phrase it differently?
Yes, sir. I didn't hit her, Fred. So how could you have seen me?
Well, that hasn't improved it. Don't you want to ask him about the bruises?
There weren't any bruises. I never hit her. So how could he have seen them?
Because I did. Often.
How can you tell such lies?
Sir, that isn't a proper question either.
I'd be getting precious few proper questions from anybody, Mr. Trench. Anything else, Mr. Trench?
I never laid a finger on her.
Thank you. You may stand down, Mr. Tanner.
Thank you, Your Worship.
That is the case for the wife, Your Honor.
Mr. Trench, do you wish to give evidence?
haven't got any evidence, sir. How can you prove you didn't do something that never happened? There's just a lot of lies.
Now you're then submitting that there is no case to answer?
Yes, I suppose I am. Yes, that's it.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you. The only witness called by your wife was the lodger. I was not convinced that he was telling the truth. The same applies to the wife's evidence. The form of the cruelty that she alleges, that you repeatedly hit her round the head.
With respect, sir, she meant on the face.
Her words were round the head.
No, she didn't mean literally round the head, she meant on the face.
But she said round the head.
But she also said on the face.
Only after you as good as told her to say that.
But that's what round the head means to some people, sir.
Not to me. You can't hit a person round the head. On the head or on the face. If that's what she meant, why didn't she say it?
Well, that was her way of saying it, sir. Well, we all, to some extent, talk in different languages. Mrs. Trench, sir, may not understand certain expressions you use from time to time at home.
I'm not very taken with your analogy, Mr. Thurston.
Well, let me say then, sir, that you may not understand the type of expression which I may use from time to time.
Such as what?
What? Oh. Well, all sorts of expressions.
For instance?
Oh, I can give dozens of examples.
Let's have one to begin with.
Now?
Yes, please.
Well, there's so many.
Then choose a good one.
Well, if someone came to the door and asked... that won't do, no. If I met someone on a bus... No, that's wrong. But I'll think of a dozen this evening.
Perhaps you'd like me to spend the evening with you.
I should, Coco.
I beg your pardon.
That's it. That's it, sir. That's a perfect example, see? I should, Coco. Now, that means... Well, sir, it means, well, the fact is, I mean, actually, what it means, as a matter of fact, I'm not quite sure what it means. But I use it all the time. All the time I'm using it. And just as Mrs. Trench uses round the head.
But you say she thinks that means on the face.
Oh, yes. Well, perhaps mine wasn't a very good example, but my submission, sir, is that it is quite plain that as my client is complaining of bruises, she must have meant by round the head that he struck her on the face.
If I now said I should Coco, I think that would have some meaning.
Sir, I agree that round the head is not an exact phrase, but it does mean that a blow was struck.
Mm. Do you wish to say anything to that, Mr. Trent?
Well, sir, I don't quite... Excuse me a minute, sir. There's a young lady in the gallery sending me a note. A friend of mine, sir. Yeah, the constable's bringing it. Thank you, constable.
This is most improper, sir.
If it's relevant to the case.
Oh, it is, sir. If I could just have a moment to digest it.
You may sit down, Mr. Thursby.
Well, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, sir. Now then, I say that my wife used the expression round the head purposely. Well, you see what I mean, sir? Just because it doesn't mean anything. There never were any bruises, and that's what she had to get round. Only person she could call on as a so-called witness was Fred, and he being a bit dodgy. Well, she had to keep the whole thing vague. You see what I mean?
I do, Mr. Trench.
Well, that's why round the head kept coming up, because it meant nothing.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I'm afraid, Mr. Thesby, that of the two explanations why the wife used that strange phrase, I find the husband's much more likely. I am not satisfied that Mr. Trench ever did strike her, either round the head, on the head, by, with, or from the head. Mrs. Trench has not proved cruelty. Case dismissed.
Oh, Roger, thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
I'll bet you are.
Mr. Trench would have lost without that tip you gave me that night at Gita's, remember? You said to advise him to attack that round-the-head phrase, and that's just what I told him to do in that note I passed him.
What? You passed that note?
And it worked.
Perfectly.
Well, aren't you pleased?
Pleased? What have I been pleased about?
Well, you spotted immediately the point they wouldn't be able to fight. That proves you're clever.
But they was me. All I've proved is that I can win when I'm arguing against myself.
Well, whichever way you want to put it, you won this case.
Well, how can I lose? I was betting in both teams. Helen, do you realize what I've done here today?
What's the matter?
I am probably the first barrister in history to have conducted both sides of the same case.
Well, I think you're marvelous, darling, and I'm going to give you a big kiss.
No, Sally, no, please, no. The magistrate's coming. Please.
Excuse me.
Hello, sir. How are you? this is an old friend of the defendants.
Of the defendants?
Yes, sir.
I said Coco.
In that episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Henry Blagrove, Richard Waring, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally, Ann Davis, the magistrate, Frank Thornton, Mrs. Trench, Liz Fraser, Fred Tanner, James Beck, Mr. Trench, Blake Butler. Other parts were played by Alan Barry and Malcolm Hayes. Separation Order was written by Frank Muir and Dennis Norton and adapted for radio by Richard Waring. The program was produced by David Hatch.